We're going to look at the Bible passage which was read to us, which is in Joshua chapter 4. If you have a Bible, you might like to turn there, and it's on page 218. And I'd better give a little background to this story so that you see why I've chosen it on my last Sunday. But before we do that, we're going to pray and ask God to help us. Father God, this is your written word, but the Holy Spirit takes it and takes the truth of it and makes it the living word, brings it to life and applies it to our situation today. And that's our prayer. Please, gracious God, may we hear your voice speaking to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got to give you a tiny bit of history as I begin so that you understand the context of this passage. God chose one man, Abraham, and God said to Abraham, leave your place, go to the land I'm going to show you, and I'm going to make you a great nation. And Abraham obeyed, and he went. The problem was, he didn't have many kids. In fact, he had no kids for a long time. And then finally, in his old age, he had one son, Isaac. And that was all the true children that he and his wife had. From Isaac came twins, Jacob and Esau. And God chose Jacob, and God said, I'm going to keep my promises that through this family, I'm going to bless the whole world. And through Jacob came the 12 sons of Israel, and Jacob was renamed Israel himself. And you probably know the story. But then God said, I'm going to take you away, and actually you're going to be covered in thick darkness. And they were. They were taken down to Egypt because of a famine, and they lived in Egypt for 450 years. And they never got to the promised land, which they had been promised. And then finally, God raised up Moses. And Moses was the great man of the early part of the Bible. And it was through Moses that the people escaped from Egypt. And you will know the story of how they escaped the plagues of Israel, and the final plague in particular, by offering a sacrifice. They were spared, and they left Egypt, and God miraculously opened the Red Sea, and they crossed on dry land, going back to the Promised Land. And then God appeared to Moses. He gave him the covenant up there on Mount Sinai, and you've got the Ten Commandments were given, and the culture, and so on. But unfortunately, the people did not have faith to proceed into the Promised Land. And in fact, they were very scared and fearful of the future. And so when they went to look at the Promised Land, the majority spies that went there came back and said, we can't go there. It's too difficult. There are giants in the land. We're going to be destroyed. And they were so fearful. And because of that, God punished that generation, and they died in the desert. And God rose up the next generation, and the next generation was led by a man called Joshua. Now we're getting to the story. And Joshua and Caleb. It must have been a very strange society. There were only two old people in the whole of the community, Joshua and Caleb. All the rest of their contemporaries had died, and only this new young generation. And they got to the edge of the Promised Land, and then Moses died. And so it was a time of great transition, and it was a time of great change. Now, I'll ask you, looking around here, this lovely church, how many of you love change? Well, some of you like change. How many of you find change a bit difficult? But you don't always hate change, even those of you who find change difficult. Are you glad that spring followed winter? Yes! Are you glad that summer follows spring and autumn follows? And there's changes all the time. Change is part of life. And not all change is bad. A lot of change is extremely good. And the truth of it is, change happens all the time and in every way. And our church is facing a period of change. And one of the big changes that we see in this story is that Joshua had to follow Moses. Now, I'm not making any comparison whatsoever with our churches of It was just a privilege to be called here as the first pastor of this church. But transition is coming, and there is a lot of change. And how are we going to face this change? So Moses died, and then God said, right, it's time to move into the promised land. And you can imagine this young generation looking across the Jordan River saying, oh, I wonder what's going to happen to us. And then they looked, and it so happened that that time of year, the river Jordan, so they were on the east side of the Jordan, they had to cross the Jordan into the promised land. The Jordan was in flood. It was a massive torrent. It was a raging torrent. And so how were they going to cross? There were no bridges. There was no other means to cross than to cross the river. And then God says, prepare yourselves, get ready to cross the river, and I'm going to do a miracle. And it was as if God is saying, listen, it was a miracle that you children heard from your parents that I stopped the waters of the Red Sea and enabled the people to cross over from Egypt. And they escaped from sin and slavery into Sinai. And you know, I'm going to do another miracle. I'm going to show you that I'm truly God. And I'm going to ask you to get the priests. The priests are to lift up the Ark of the Covenant. Now, for those, I'm sure most of you know this, the Ark of the Covenant contained the Ten Commandments. It contains one or two special things. And it represented the presence of God in their midst. And he says, take the Ark of Covenant, get the priest to take, keep yourself, consecrate yourself, be a little distance because God is holy. Get the priest to take the Ark of the Covenant and get them to walk into the river. Can you imagine walking into a torrent? What was going to happen? And as they put their feet into the Jordan River, suddenly we're told the flow of the river stopped. It just stopped upstream somewhere. It stopped. No more water came down. And the priests were able to continue to walk, and they walked into the middle of the river on dry land. And the people, their eyes must have been as big as saucers, saying, what is going on? And then, of course, they remembered the miracle that God had done at the Red Sea, that they had been told by their fathers and their parents how they had escaped from sin and how God is with them and is powerful. And then Joshua said, right, Passover. Cross over, all of you, you're going into the promised land now. So they passed through the river, but on dry land to the other side. And then we get to this story. And what happened was, the first thing that they had to do was not attack the enemies or do anything like that. God said, stop, we've all got across. Find the 12 people I've asked, one represented each 12 tribe. Go back into the river, where the priests have been standing, holding the ark, my presence with you, and they're each to take one stone, and they're to bring it out, one stone representing each of the people. So, they have 12 stones I've brought into the church today. I want all those who have a stone or a rock near them to come and place it here, because I've asked 12 people to bring rocks into the church today. Please bring your rocks forward. There's one here for Martin as well. Hey, thank you. I put it on this table, we protect the table. You didn't know we had such strong people in the church, did you? Actually, you can go and sit down now. Actually, in the story, they had to put the rock on their shoulders because they were big old rocks. I'm not asking them to put them on the shoulders. Oh, thank you so much. So they built their altar. I won't try and build too high, otherwise it will all fall down. But you can put them there, and there, and there, and there, and there. Okay, that should be 12. I think it is 12. There it is. Wow, that's a brilliant. So this is to represent. And then the question arises, what do these stones mean? That's... He was told to make an altar, to sacrifice to God. And he said, listen, in future generations, when people see this memorial of these stones, they're to say, what do these stones mean? And they will ask that question. And when this book was written, the stones still existed. They were beside the Jordan River, but on the promised land side. And Joshua had made these stones. And this was to be a memorial to God's faithfulness to the people, so they didn't forget that God is faithful. And when God's presence is with a people, God is there with them, and they can do all sorts of things. Sally and I will be around again, I'm quite sure, but we're going to take a break. But you know, we're not important at all. What is important with this church? God's presence is still with you. Now, I've got to go quickly, but let me just tell you three things about these stones. It must have been so scary because Moses had died and Joshua was an old man and he was now to lead the people into the promised land. There was all sorts of unknowns and difficulties and enemies and challenges. And you can imagine. And God is saying, listen, there's been a change, there's been a transition, but I'm going to be faithful to you. And just as I brought you out of Egypt so that your sins were forgiven and you escaped the judgment of God, so I've done another miracle and I brought you through a flooded river. And this is just for you to know as a people that God still does miracles. That the river was in flood, but you've now entered the promised land. You've been enabled to cross on dry land because the ark of God's presence has been in your midst. And Sally and I want to say to you too, I preached my first sermon when I was 19. In 2 weeks' time, I'll be 70. So I must have preached a few times. But I can honestly say, I'm sure that I wish I could preach better over those years. But I can truly say, the word of God has not changed. It is absolutely reliable. God's presence is still with us. And praise God for every single time we've experienced the presence of God in our midst. I thank God for each one of you. I've prayed for everyone who comes to this church. We've seen many reminders of God's grace to this church, even further back than us. You've got people such as Janet who've been in this church many, many years. And this church has been here since 1895. Was anyone around then? This church, a farmer put a little hut in a field right here in 1895 because he had been converted. He had had a huge problem with drink, this farmer, and when he was converted and changed, he said, I want a place where I can worship God. And this church has been going ever since. God has brought lots of new people. We've had people baptized in our church, even recently. We've had others who've been in this church a very, very long time. But the gospel has been preached, and God has been faithful to his people. And we must remember that. We must never forget that God is faithful to his people. Secondly, because he saves. He saved them through the river. He saves and he continues to save people today. God is gracious to his leaders. Now, one of the reasons why this happened was because Joshua was really fearful of following Moses. And how do you know that? It's because, just look, for example, in verse 14. That day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they revered him all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. Do you see that? Verse 14 of chapter 4. God is saying, I'll raise up new people. I'll be with them. I'll provide leaders for the church. I will continue to provide. In this case, they were Levites who helped to carry the stones. But I will continue to help. And this must have been an incredible encouragement to Joshua. He was one of the only people who had seen Moses hit the Red Sea, and the Red Sea had parted, and the people had crossed the Red Sea. He was one of the few people still alive who remembered that, or had seen it with his own eyes. And God is saying, listen, I'm with you. I want to encourage you. Take up the mantle. Take up the responsibilities. I'm going to be with you just as I was with previous leaders. So I believe that this memorial is partly as God is saying, I'm going to be gracious to the leaders of the church. God encourages. Our God is an encouraging church. I actually, as I've thought of the future of this church, and we have prayed very consistently about it, I'm not discouraged that no one has been appointed to take my place at this time. Because I really believe that God has a plan, And God has raised up elders in our church. And it's been such an encouragement to have Martin and John, and we are nominating Olun as well. And we as a church need the reassurance that God is with us. And he will encourage the leaders who come to this church, just as he exalted. And we're told that as a result of that miracle of crossing the Jordan and this memorial, we're told that people revered and obeyed and they honoured Joshua during those times. Now, it doesn't mean that Joshua didn't make mistakes. He did make mistakes. In fact, a few chapters later on, we find a mistake he made when the people faced Jericho, a great victory, but then after that, there were some mistakes that he made. But we still read that despite the mistakes he made, God was leading the people on into the promised land. And I want to say to you something that's already been prayed this morning. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Imitate their faith. And it goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 13, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give account. So obey them because they're trying to do the work of God. And it will be a joy to you. Don't be a burden to them. But that will be of no advantage to you. It will just make it harder for them to lead the church. Pray for them, encourage them, support them. And may you be those who hear the word of God through them. And may it continue to be the people of God. And that was such an encouragement to Joshua as they enters the promised land. He's saying, God is saying, I'm with you. I want the people to support you. I want them to honor you. And that I want to use you in your leadership role. So that's my prayer for this church. And thirdly, the point is this. This is really interesting to me. Look at the last verse of the passage we read. This is Joshua chapter 4, verse 24. Well, I'll read from verse 23. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, listen, there's another reason why I've given you these stones. This is a reminder that this church is part of God's purposes. This is a reminder that God wants to use this church so that all the world, that's what it says, so that all the world may hear of God. And it's really amazing that that's true. We may feel a very small church at times. We may be made very fearful. But he says, as people hear of what God has done in this church, they will fear God. It was true. Actually, a couple of chapters earlier, they had sent some spies across into the promised land. They'd gone to Jericho. And when they went to Jericho, they stayed at an inn, and there was a lady there called Rahab. And when they went into Rahab's house, she says, oh, she says, we already know that God is going to use you to take this land because we've heard about the Red Sea and the crossing of the Red Sea. And we don't have a God like you. And we're fearful. We know God is with you. Now, this was before the crossing of the Jordan. She was thinking way back to the stories of the Red Sea. She's saying, we know God is with you and God is going to do a mighty thing with you. The fear of God will fall on the people around this church and on us as well through the parents and toddlers group. And we've already seen that through the conversations we've had and contacts we've had through the parents and toddlers group. We've been able to tell them why we're here through the English club. You know, we've had over 20 nationalities who've come to our English club, and we've seen at least one coming right through to put their trust in the Lord. But we've had an opportunity to go into homes and to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of the English club. And we have our last English club tomorrow, but actually on Saturday we're having an English club get together as well, and quite a number have said they can come to that. You know, The reputation of God has been known because we have people from the care homes, from Cuffley Manor and from Cooper's Croft, and we do services there, and I take the Lord's Supper there. And as a result of that, the reputation of God is a little bit at stake. It's amazing. Then I would say even more, through you, through your individual witnesses in your homes, and because people know you, and your neighbours know you, and your colleagues know you, and your friends know you, they know that there is a God. And as a result of your witness, people know that there is a powerful God in the world. There's a drink of water there if you'd like to go. She's all right. You know that we support workers in Myanmar, in Thailand, in France, and in the London City Mission. And as a result of our little church here praying for those mission partners in those different countries, you know something? The reputation of God is at stake. Did you know that this little church, through our prayer meeting, praying for people around the world, God is saying, as a result of what you're doing, it's having an influence far and wide. Through our special outreach activities like the craft event, through having Oak Hill students and All Nations students, the world around is being reminded that God is God. People are seeing evidence of the existence and the power of God. We may feel a very small, vulnerable church, but the truth of it is, if we're faithful to God, He will use us just as He used the people of Israel, that people will hear, and it's God's plan. Did you know this? It's God's plan that people from every tribe and tongue and nation and every town and every village and people of Potterspan and Cuffley and Norfolk and Barnet, wherever, they know that God is powerful. Do you realize how significant we are as a church? Because God wants to reveal Himself, and He uses even small, weak things. Do not despise small, the day of small things. God uses even a small church to reveal Himself to others. And these stones are a reminder that God is faithful and He is working His purposes out. So, I conclude, and it is time to conclude. We praise God for all that is past. We thank God for all those who have been faithful in this church, trusting God with His presence in our midst. Over 121 years this church has been in existence. We praise God for that. And we're overwhelmed with gratitude to God for what He's done. But equally, we've got to trust Him for all that is to come. We've got to trust Him that God will continue to use the witness of this church, that the ark of the presence of God, if you like, the presence of God through His Holy Spirit, will continue to be seen in this church. We're not to lose heart. We're to fix our eyes on Jesus. We're to be renewed every day. For the light and momentary troubles we may have in this world are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. So Sally and I finish. We would like to say, not to us, O Lord, not to us, O Lord, be the glory, but to Your name. Continue to use this church. Continue to help us to remember that You are faithful to Your people, and we praise You. Amen.